EMW Des Moines guest list shapes up like this. We will, at the bottom of the hour, talk to Kevin Lehman, who covers college basketball for ESPN. Had a request to get Lehman on here to give his unbiased opinion on what Drake and their fan base are going to see when Ben McCollum is on the sideline next, I guess, November. But we'll get Lehman's opinion on the hire. What does this mean for Drake? How steep is the hill to climb to get back up where they were? I'll pick his brain on the NIT championship game tonight. He saw Indiana State a whole bunch of times this winter. So Kevin Lehman at the bottom of the hour. Hour number two starts off with our friend John Bowenkamp from the Associated Press. HawkeyeNation.com previewing, obviously, the Final Four game tomorrow between UConn and Iowa. And then at about 12:30, Blair Kirkhoff from the Kansas City Star, longtime writer, columnist for the Kansas City Star, will be here to talk about all things Kansas City, the vote that just took place, what does that mean, the Big 12, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe pick his brain on the idea that's been floated out there of the Super League at the Athletic, an 80-team college football Super League. We'll see if that gains any traction or not. On the surface, a lot of good, I think, ideas in it. But here's the bottom line. The SEC, the Big Ten, are they giving it the thumbs up? Because if they're not,
if it's going to cut into the revenues,
probably not. If they don't want it, it's not going to happen. It's plain and simple. On the surface, again, I love the idea. Mm-hmm. That means that you know, everybody in the Big 12, everybody in the ACC, the Pac-10 lives again. Big 12, our Big 10, SEC, going to give it their blessing, remains to be seen. NIL would go internally, which I think is probably headed in that direction, right. I hope. Mm-hmm. But boy, oh boy, if this thing would have come out a couple of years ago before, you know, it hit the fan like it did, I mean, whoever would have ever thought a couple of years ago that the Pac-12 would be right gone, right? Mm-hmm. If this idea would have been floated out there, and I guess it's been in the works for some time, and they got some heavy heads working on it, including the number two man at the NFL. So we'll see if it gains any traction. On the surface, do you like it?
I like it. I don't think it's reality, but I like it.
And
it's a fun idea.
Because of what?
Because of what you said.
Because of the two conferences.
If it's going to cut down on the finances for the SEC and the Big Ten, they're not going to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you got a lot more mouths to feed, and mouths that don't have the TV ratings, you're not going to have the same kind of money, and it's not going to happen. So, unfortunately, I think it's a great idea.
I love it.
I just don't think it's going to happen.
I love the relegation that you can get kicked out of the league.
Yes.
You can work your way back into the league. Now, for the 70 teams that would be part of the, the teams that don't have to worry about getting sent down or getting kicked out or clawing their way to get promoted again, and these teams would be part of the relegation division: Tulane, Toledo, Troy, Ohio, UT San Antonio, Fresno State, Boise State, Coastal, Navy, and North Texas. All right, kind of sounds like the Group of Five. That makes sense. I like that the teams in the West Coast would be back together. I love it. I love the Pac-12, the Pac-10. But
is USC going to say, yeah, we'll take $20 million less?
You know what? They might.
Nah, I don't think USC would.
But maybe
UCLA would.
Yeah, because of the fact that
UCLA's got to pay Cal.
Sure.
Some of their money right now.
Sure. And the fact that, and this is football only to begin with. It's been made very clear that the other sports would remain as it is right now. So I don't know. I don't know where it's going to go. I love the fact that the divisions are the way they were. We'd have the Pac-10. We'd have the frequent flyer division. As they call it, Mizzou, K-State, Kansas, Utah, Iowa State, Northwestern leaves the Big Ten for the Flyer Division. Central Florida, Nebraska leaves the Big Ten, Colorado, and BYU. Pretty good group of teams.
Yeah.
Pretty good group of teams. Iowa stays in the Big Ten. And the Big East, as it's known, would have essentially Cincinnati moving over from the Big 12. West Virginia moving over from the Big 12. Notre Dame would be shoehorned into a division. It's not going to fly, is it?
It's not, no. I mean, great reality. I mean, this is an off-season topic. And it gives you fodder. There's just times. Let's live in reality.
Yeah.
And the reality is that this power structure has changed so much.
And the meeting that was supposed to take place with the Big Ten and the SEC, and your Mark had a seat at one of these meetings too, representing the Big 12, They were canceled.
Mm.
They did meet with the ACC back, I don't know when it was, earlier this year. I don't know if that meant that the that they're into this or not. But there's a long way to go, and I don't know if we'll waste any more time or they will waste any more time trying to see it forward. Because unless you have the, I guess it's an approval, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
The CST, as they call it, the College Super Team, and they're talking about it right now on whatever show we're watching, is that's McAfee, isn't it? Isn't got a chance. Anyways, we'll move on. How about the other idea that came out yesterday about the a new rival for the NIT with Big Ten, with who are the conferences? The Big Ten, the SEC, and there's one other I want to say.
There was, yeah. There was three that were involved in it.
Big 12, Big East, and Big Ten.
Yes.
And those three conferences would get two bids. If you don't qualify for the Big Dance, you'll mm-hmm. automatically get two. So I don't know if this is, if they think the NIT is circling the drain. They're sold out tonight. Did you see that? Hinkle, you can't buy a ticket tonight to see the championship game.
And Indiana State.
And Indiana State being there is obviously huge.
Where this comes from is very simple. It's TV. Again, we go back and full circle right back to where we started.
Mm-hmm.
It's about TV, and it's about TV money. Who does Fox have contracts with?
Big Ten.
The Big Ten, the Big 12,
and the Big East. Yep.
Those are the three leagues that are involved here, and those are the three leagues that go. So because of that, it's very easy to connect the dots. And is that what we're leading to, where the NIT becomes ACC, SEC, and then this new tournament becomes with them and television partners? Mm. And are we looking at maybe the future of the way that college sports looks? I've talked about this for years. The Fox brand, the NFC, the CBS brand, the AFC. And though that has merged a little bit more recently, it's basically still what it is.
Yeah.
Are we trending the same direction in college sports?
They would play this tournament in Las Vegas. They would start after the Elite Eight have been determined. They would play the championship game on Sunday evening after the women have cut down the nets because they play in the afternoons, their championship game. And then Sunday night we'd have what this tournament would culminate in Las Vegas at the MGM. We'll see if it happens or not. We know that the A's are headed to Las Vegas at some point, but a little pit stop in Sacramento. Makes sense?
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about the television component of that one, too.
Right.
Oh, boy. It's all about TV.
It's all about it. It's TV and it's money.
That's all that this comes down to. Hey, one more on this new new tournament.
Yep.
One thing that I really like. We saw so many teams decline bids.
Yes.
And with this being pushed back deeper into the tournament, it gives plenty of time for teams that didn't qualify for the NCAA tournament to do their recruiting, set up visits, do all those kind of things, and then basically go for not quite a weekend tournament, but close to it.
That's close,
A type of tournament, I mean a half-week kind of tournament that you may make your way out to Vegas. I think it makes a whole lot of sense.
Do you keep the transfer portal closed?
Well, that's what needs to happen.
I agree with
you. Yeah, I mean that would
for
make...
For all of these tournaments.
Yes, that would make it the simplest equation for that to happen. But is that, even if they push it back even a week... Yeah. Just get through the first and second round at minimum. You do that and you're impacting then so many fewer teams.
You know one aspect, Trent, that hasn't got a lot of play because it hasn't happened to the best of my knowledge, and you just wonder when it's going to follow in the footsteps of the bowls, the minor bowls when it comes to college football, and that's opt-outs. You know, are we on the cusp of basketball players deciding it's in their best? Now, there's not seven rounds of the draft.
Right?
There's two. So that makes it less likely, I think, to have the massive opt-outs and the fact that NIL is in place. But has there been an opt-out in college basketball?
No.
I don't think there has there?
Well, and because it's the NCAA tournament.
Right.
It's a one-and-done scenario.
Have we had an opt-out in the playoff?
Football's a different sport physically than football and what you're dealing
with.
But
I don't think we have.
No.
Not even in the playoff.
Was there any NIT one, CBI? I mean, I didn't hear of it.
I didn't even know the CBI was going on.
Oh, yeah. CIT, CBI.
In fact, you know what? I did know because I think you were just panicking on one day when there was nothing to bet and you stumbled across that.
I found a way. I found a way. Didn't find a way yesterday. 0-5.
You can take the day off.
No, absolutely. Yeah,
you can take the day off.
Well, we're underway. We got the Tigers plus 125. First pitch just happened a minute ago.
Oh, did it? Okay.
Yes, they're singing the national anthem somewhere, and we need to bounce back. I feel like crap. Got some illness from my son, so that's not the reason that I went 0-5.
So you're up all night with Jack?
No, he's on the backside of it now. He's feeling good. Dad just picked it up from him, and I'm glad I'm not driving to Cleveland right now. Oof. Or making the way after Oof. The show, as was originally the plan, because that would not be a fun drive.
Boy, is there a lot of media there, Trent. I mean, this is unbelievable. Way to go.
I do wonder if I would have applied for a credential if I would have received one. A year ago.
Well, if you work for Sports Byline, which isn't really a thing, you would get a credential.
Well,
because
that's different. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you can always rig the system as somebody continues to do.
Right.
And gets away with it.
Uh-huh.
So if you have a Sports Byline letterhead that you're, you know, fraudulently using, maybe that could have got you in the door. It seemed to work here at Wells Fargo last year.
It did.
It worked in Boston this year, and it worked in Albany this year. It remains to be seen if that, quote, media member will be in Cleveland. You want to bet?
Hmm.
I'll say he's there.
Where's the money come from?
Well, where's it always come from? He's learned his lesson.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Yeah,
you know, behind bars, you learn. Yep, I'm a changed man. BS. BS. So anyways, to your question,
yes.
If you would have done it or attempted to do it legitimately?
Well, just because of what you said. I mean, I heard Chad Leistikow last night at Hawk Central, and he mentioned that. He was telling the story of him and Dargan Suggard, who's been on the beat now for 7 years on the Iowa women's basketball beat, and said when they were in Seattle last year, he went back and listened to an interview that they had done with Caitlin. And said it was just him and Darkin. They're the only two people there.
Is that right?
After they had punched their ticket, beat Louisville. And we know the buildup that was happening even a year ago compared to what it is today.
It's amazing. The room that they're in right now for the press conference, there's no room. The room is too small. It's just tiger by the tail. Did you hear LeBron last night?
I didn't know.
So LeBron, I guess it was after, I'm sure it was after a game, not after a practice, that the media had surrounded him, talking about the women's game and talking about all the women. And then you could see that his brain was working, trying to pull. Oh, and then that girl from Iowa State, the freshman, he couldn't pull her name.
Uh-huh.
But just going down the list of women who are, you know, elevating this game and... It's amazing, Trent. It's absolutely amazing.
We are so lucky to be able to witness this.
I am. I'm so glad that I got on board and didn't do it fighting and screaming. Because it's hard. I mean, it's box office.
Say you got a job in, I don't know, another college market.
Yeah.
And your path was the same, though. You're doing sports talk radio, and we're here today. And you're in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Right.
You're in Austin, Texas. You're somewhere else. That's where your horse race calling career took you.
Right to begin, yeah.
And you're still doing sports talk radio.
Yeah.
Would you be talking Caitlin Clark?
Yes.
In a college market?
Yes.
I think so.
Yes.
We talk to Cappy
I'm getting
every week.
My idiot friends. Well, not idiot friends. I mean, the guys I grew up with.
All of our friends are idiots, right?
These are guys from Winnipeg.
Uh-huh.
They're in their 60s. They're calling me and asking about her. In Canada.
You cannot explain the phenomenon.
You
it
can't.
Is unthinkable.
Yes.
I was listening to Richard Deitch from The Athletic and their sports media guy. And he was...
You know, I want to do a podcast with him.
He's great. He is excellent.
Uh-huh. Because his path was the exact opposite of my life path.
Yes.
He's an American.
Yes.
That has moved to Canada.
Uh-huh.
And loves it.
Yes, absolutely.
I went the other way and love it. I would love to the two of us to put our heads together. And I don't know him. I've never spoken with him.
Yeah, I remember years ago trying to get him on. That's when we had our relationship that we had John Oran on a bunch.
So you still have his contact information?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'll see if I can dig that one up because really interesting guy. Loves women's sports.
Loves it.
And
he's been dying on that hill for years.
Yes, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
He covered it at SI. That's where he was before moving to The Athletic. So... he's a guy, though, just listening to him talk about these ratings and what the potential could be. So it was John Lewis, who is Sports Media Watch on Twitter and has the website. That's where we get all these TV numbers. He is always the first to report at least the sports side of things. And they were saying, if we get Iowa, South Carolina, if we get that in the championship game, Lewis said he was being conservative, 16, 17 million. Austin Karp from Sports Business Journal, who's kind of taken over for Oran. He said 17, 18 million. And then as they were kind of all talking amongst them, 20 million is not out of the question.
I don't think it is.
20 million for a women's college basketball game.
Sunday afternoon, middle of the afternoon.
You know, I saw Jamel Hill yesterday or the day before.
Who's she with now?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Just saw a tweet that was retweeted by somebody say, well, you know, this is not Caitlin Clark. This is on the backs of everybody else. This has been happening for the last decade, last 7 years. No. And I looked at the numbers, and it's wrong. No. She's dead wrong.
No, I'm glad that she's remembering the people that came before her.
Yes.
As Caitlin Clark does.
Yes, absolutely.
As they all do. Mm-hmm. And they go out of their way to say it. They make sure that they, you know, recognize the people that that paved the way for them to be here. But it's not true.
It's not.
Simply not true.
Right. You look at those numbers, and there are peaks and valleys. Uh-huh. There are improvements. There was a couple Notre Dame-UConn matchups. There were a couple that that moved up in the 4 or 5 million range for the national championship, but nothing like this.
No.
This isn't even close. Mm-hmm. Yes, the building that needs to happen to get there. Look, there was an NBA before Bird Magic got there.
Yeah.
There were people, but it went to another level.
Have you heard of Jack? Have you heard of Arnie?
Right.
Have you heard of Greg? Have you heard of fill in the blank, whoever your golfers were?
That's another one. I hear this all the time. People trying to equate Caitlin Clark to Tiger Woods, and you get it.
Tiger brought more people to the game, but there was a whole lot of people there in advance.
2 years before Tiger won the 97 Masters, they had, I think it was 9.8 million viewers for the final round of the Masters. It went up to 15.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not talking about this kind of niche sport. There were consistently between 7 and 10 million people watching golf on Masters Sunday.
Yes.
Consistently.
Right.
For decades.
Yes.
That's not what's happening here.
No, it's not.
This is...
Golf was always on TV. Women's basketball was not.
Not at this level.
It wasn't at this level. I see the same stuff. Well, Gretzky did this for hockey. No, he didn't.
No.
Take it from me.
You know, well, I remember battling, trying to figure out how we were going to watch the North Stars when they made the Stanley Cup Final, and it was pulling teeth in North Iowa, 2 hours and 15 minutes away. The Rochester affiliate would have tape delays, I think is what it was.
Is that right?
And it'd come on at like 10:30, and you could watch it if you didn't have ESPN. That was the only thing, and this is what, 1990? It is a long time ago.
Well, look, I'm sure he changed it in Los Angeles.
Absolutely.
When he got traded from Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a guy by the name of Bobby Orr and Gordie Howe.
Yes.
And, you know, wherever you want to go, there's just so many. It's, by the way, we're watching this. Did you see the line brawl last night to start?
Was that 2 seconds in? Is that what I saw?
2 seconds into the game.
So there's got to be a background,
right? Yeah, the background is those two guys that are fighting right now. So the two goons, this Rempe, who's 6'8" for the Rangers. The last time these two teams played, right, the Devils and the Rangers, and they're separated by, what, 15 miles or whatever it is. Rempe hit one of the Devils' defensemen. It was deemed a dirty check and knocked the guy out of the game. Because Rempe's 6'8", and if you elbow somebody or shoulder somebody, it's a pretty good chance at 6'8", you're going to make contact with the player's head, whether you want to or not. Of course, he was kicked out of the game, so the Devils couldn't get back and, you know, settle the score because he took one of their guys off the ice. So this was the next time that they played each other. I was convinced that those two guys that started it, McDermott for the Devils and Rempe for the Rangers, the two fighters on each team, those two would drop the gloves the first opportunity they got. But both coaches started their fourth lines last night. Their grit lines.
Okay.
Their energy lines, as they're known. And this was obviously predetermined. The two guys that lined up on the left side of the faceoff circle, they dropped the gloves first. So they get to actually come back into the games. The four subsequent fights that started after that, all of those players were kicked out. Every single one of them.
All right, help me out here. So you said the fourth line started.
Mm-hmm.
So did... Do you have to put a lineup in?
Yes.
Okay, so it's like basketball, baseball. You got to put your starting lineup.
Yep.
So is it one coach saw? Oh, they're going with the goon line.
Mm-hmm.
We're
gonna. But again, I think both of the coaches probably going into it, at least some part during the day, said, "Let's just get this over with. We know that these two are going to fight.
Yep.
Let's let them fight." What they didn't know was their line mates and both sets of defensemen would want to join the party and get involved, and they all got kicked out except for the two that. The first two to drop their gloves and actually throw punches. But anyways, you don't see that very often anymore. I think the last time was 2012, I want to say. And ironically, it was between the same two teams.
So what's hockey going to do to pull me in? We talked about this a week or two ago. The Wild had a slight chance.
Yeah, Wild aren't getting in the playoffs.
Yeah, that chance. They're 8 points back.
No, like they're not getting in.
No.
Not getting in.
So don't have the local connection. Blues.
No.
on the outside looking in.
They're not going to make it.
Yeah, they're 5 points behind the Kings right now for the final wild card spot.
The NHL's not going to float your boat. There's nothing that's going to pull you in, I don't
Are they going to put point spreads on it?
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, it'll pull me in.
Yeah.
It'll pull me in.
Well, you're betting women's NIT. I would hope that you would take a stab
that
at
was
the,
rough last
at
night.
The NHL playoffs.
That was an ugly one.
Yeah.
But the storylines are Stars, Edmonton.
Yeah, I mean,
Toronto.
I guess for a Canadian team to finally win one, it's been 30 years. That doesn't move the needle here.
But it's going to be a tough pull here.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be, I think it's going to be really difficult in Iowa. What's the storyline?
Because by the time we get into a couple weeks from now,
mm-hmm.
portals finishing up, we'll have stories. Yep. Anything local, anything Hawkeye and Cyclone, we'll hit it.
Yep.
That first and foremost,
spring
that's where
games,
we start.
Yes. Get through those. Now the calendar turns to May. There is a local Derby horse again, the Albaughs, Jason Lynch, Dennis Albaugh. Have another horse, a real contender by the Country Freedom is his name, and he can run.
So we'll have that.
We'll have that.
As we always have that. Mm-hmm. Baseball.
I think it's the NBA, Trent. I think the NBA is going to be the, of the two winter sports that were about to enter their postseason, I think it'll be the NBA.
Because we talk as much baseball as anybody. I mean, we still love baseball. We still love the sport.
And we'll continue to do so.
Our demographics skew a little older.
Yep.
And that's okay because we're a little older.
Yep.
So we're fine with that. And we love talking baseball and we love just watching the game and talking about it and dissecting it. I think you're right. The NBA... We'll have the Timberwolves, which...
That's good.
It's a bit of a stretch. The Bulls will be at least in the play-in.
Yeah.
All right, there's a day or two or maybe three.
Does it help that the Wolves are here? And Luka was signed to a regular contract this morning. He's part of the playoff roster.
We get Luka with the T-Wolves. We got, obviously, the Pacers with Tyrese. That's going to help. We're going to see the
Are they
going to
make it?
Oh, yeah. They're fine, right?
I guess I didn't realize.
Now you got me concerned. Well, the Pacers
are
falling out of
the
top six.
Game.
Yeah, they're in the play-in, though. Game. But they were solidly in the top six for a long time. And now the Knicks and the Heat.
Was it this year or last year that you bet against the number last year, or the win total? You bet them
that
under.
That was last year.
Was it last year?
Yeah. Win total's pretty good. Win total's looking at 6 of 8 right now.
You are?
Yeah.
Well, good for you.
A good pace on that
one. I didn't realize you
you always got
dabbled
dabble.
In it.
Oh, you always got to dabble. I mean, that's what I
so
do.
So the Pacers would play the Hawks, the Sixers would play the Bulls in the East. Meanwhile,
No. Because remember, the 9 and 10 play each other.
Oh, they play each other. That's right. They play each other
first.
The
winner of the 7-8 game is the 7th seed.
Yes.
The loser of that game hosts
gets the 8.
The winner of the 9-10 game.
Right. Yes.
And so if you're a 7 or 8, you got to lose twice to be out of the playoffs.
Right. That's right. Yep.
And that's the way that it sets out.
Thank you for refreshing my memory.
But the Pacers getting in, that's a good story.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely do that.
So when it comes to the West, we've got a couple of heavy heads, name recognition-wise, and if you want to throw Keegan Murray in with Sacramento...
Yes.
But the Lakers and the Warriors right now are in the play-in round?
They are.
They are.
Not just in the play-in round.
No, 9 and 10.
They would play in that 9-10 game. Loser, season done. Winner still has to win one more game.
Yeah, to advance.
Just to qualify as the 8th seed to get clubbed
so we may
by
have
the Timberwolves.
We may have an NBA playoffs without LeBron, without Steph Curry. I take it back. The NHL will find a way to rule the game. No, I'm just kidding. They won't. But wow, think about that. Jokic,
if David Stern was still with us, he would not allow that to happen.
No.
Here comes Dick Pivetta.
Yeah, Doncic, the Mavericks would be in, and he's a legitimate superstar. Boston has the best record in the NBA. Yeah, it's that time we start to taking a look ahead to the NBA playoffs, the NHL, et cetera, et cetera. All right, good stuff. Let's get Benny in here. Then we'll take a break. We'll come back. We will talk to Kevin Lehman. His thoughts on Drake's new hire, Ben McCollum. That press conference is next week with McCollum. I want to say Tuesday. Benny, how are you?
I am doing fantastic, guys. Just why are these people just making ridiculous comments, such as Jamel Hill, such as Paul Pierce? Like,
what did they say?
It's all race bait. That's what they're using. Jamel Hill's comments were, why is Paige Beckers getting all the attention and Caitlin Clark? They get 10 times the media coverage than the black players. She mentioned Asia Wilson, the best player in the WNBA right now. Aaliyah Boston, how great she was at South Carolina. She brought race into it, just like Paul Pierce did on Undisputed or whatever show he joins now with Kip Bayless, where he says he couldn't believe a white girl from Iowa can do that to black girl. Why has it got to be white versus black? Why can't it just be basketball players? Like, it's the most moronic things coming out of these. If a white person said that, we'd be up in arms. Oh, you're using the race card. But a black person says it, and we don't say anything.
Yeah, like, I didn't hear them say it, so I didn't hear the context.
Betty, the crazy part about it, too, is Angel Reese hasn't got publicity here over the last calendar year.
Of course she has. Of course. Deservedly so.
Aaliyah Boston. Ken, even before we got to last year's tournament, we talked about Aaliyah Boston.
Yes.
Us talked about it before this onslaught of women's basketball and what it's turned into. It is laughable. It is trying to find a narrative that isn't there, trying to form an opinion.
Is it because the I still think a lot of this pushback, a lot of this blowback has to do with where was this when we were playing?
Yes.
And that jealous might fit in some
Cheryl
cases.
The Cheryl Swoops thing is a perfect example of that. Those were outright.
Yeah. Fabrications.
Yes.
Right.
They weren't true.
No. Fabricate. Every single one of them.
Yes.
Every single one of them.
And even after walking it back, but she dug in her heels. Mm-hmm. And those are the things that are, I think
it's the people that have come before that were, you know, what am I, chopped liver?
We've seen this from old NFL players,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, a lot of things.
We've seen MLB players. We've seen this happen. And maybe it's just because of the time period. Yeah. The WNBA has only been around 30 years. It hasn't been around 80, 100, 120 years like the other sports. Yeah. Maybe that's the reason we're seeing it now.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think it has to do with people that that have been there before, right?
A little bitterness.
Yeah.
Well, you look at the money, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, if you could buy stock in one league right now, it would be the WNBA.
Yes. There's a chance.
Oh, a chance.
Don't screw it up.
Happen.
Don't screw it up.
No, they won't. They won't. It's too big. It's too big.
That marketing
machine. Potentially is too big.
So Indiana opens up their season. That'll be ESPN2 has two windows that night.
You know, here's the other thing, Trent, just to interrupt you real quick. It's not like we have to wait a whole offseason before we get to see her.
It's right. Go there in a quiet time in the sports calendar. ESPN will obviously push it.
Yep. See you in a couple of months.
And her second game, she goes to New York to take on the Liberty. That's an ABC game.
The media capital of the world.
1 o'clock. It is an open window on ABC. What game do you think they're going to select for that one?
You know, let's think about this during the break.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Kevin Lehman coming up next. Miller and Condon underway on what day is it? Thursday.
It's a Thursday.
It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Hour number two, John Bowenkamp, Associated Press, will join us. We will preview UConn and Iowa with John Bowenkamp. That comes up to kickoff the second hour of the program. Then Blair Kirkhoff on Kansas City and the fact that the Chiefs headed out of town.
You got to stop.
Probably so, right? They're not leaving?
No.
They're not leaving.
No.
I tried to find a division for him last night, tried to make a trade. I tried to get under Athens' skin.
Uh-huh. How'd that go?
He didn't even reply to me.
No,
Let's
You're not the best troll.
I'm not, I guess, right? I should have taken some lessons from all the trolling that's come our way.
The Hawkeyes, the Ted Flints of the world, Cyclone Larry.
That's how I met Ted Flint in my mentions or whatever they are one night. Let's get Kevin Lehman in here. Washer Systems of Iowa sponsors Kevin all season long. This will probably be the final appearance with us, Kevin. So first of all, thank you for what you did for us throughout the basketball season. Can't believe that it's over, but they'll crown an NIT champ tonight. And we're down to four in men's and women's this weekend. How are you?
Ken, I'm doing great. It's nice to talk to you, and we got a great weekend of basketball coming our way.
Indeed we do. Let's start with what's going to come our way next November. Well, prior to that, obviously Ben McCollum is going to be in place, and he's going to be trying to rebuild that roster as the majority of the roster is in the transfer portal, and I think both of the recruits that had committed to Drake have decided that they're going to dip their toe back in the portal. But what can you tell us about Ben McCollum? Why should Drake fans be excited that Ben McCollum is going to lead the program going forward?
Well, first of all, I go back to the article from Randy Peterson, which is in Brian Harden, you must trust. And I think Brian Harden has earned that trust for Drake fans and for other people in the Valley. You know, he's been at Marquette, Notre Dame, Loyola. He understands how a program like Drake works. So
I thought this was a great hire for Drake. Marty Richter, great guy, love him to death. Thought he might have had a shot. Matt Gaten's got his name tossed around a little bit. Dean Oliver, Ali Frokmanesh. But when you look at the resume of Ben McCollum, it would be hard not to give him this position because he's put his time in, much like Darren DeVries did it at Creighton, he's put his time at Division II. The success is tremendous. We got four NCAA Division II championships, five-time coach of the year. And the win percentage, if you had to take out his first 2 years, Ken, it's like 86%. Jesus. It's unheard of. And that's a pretty good league that he plays in.
It's a good league. I think. Yeah. Kevin, here's the other component, though. Making the jump up to the D1 level, it's recruiting. That's a question that I think everybody asks. They're recruiting a different type of athlete and a different type of player. You know, how important it is for the assistants, making the right hires on that front. Obviously, this weekend, Final Four, there's going to be a lot of coaches handing him their resumes.
You know, what if McCollum's there? That's a great point, Trent. Yeah. I bet he is.
So you have to anticipate here. That's going to be a huge aspect. You know, finding those right guys in the MVC and the importance of that and his kind of connections to find those right people.
Well, that's huge, your staff, because when you talk to assistants, the first thing they do when they get up in the morning, they turn their phone on and check the transfer portal. P.J. Hogan told me he did that every day for like 2 months. So that's the new age of college basketball. And if you look at Ben McCollum, remember Ryan Hawkins who transferred to Creighton for that graduate year? Yep. He was a guy that he found at Atlantic, Iowa. Somehow he got by Creighton, you and I, Drake. And would end up being a starter for a Creighton team, I think, might have went to the Sweet 16. So you know he can identify talent. Plus, I like the fact that he's got ties to Iowa, born in Storm Lake, played at Nyack and Mason City. So he's got those, I think, which is important for your fan base. And it depends on what they're going to do recruiting-wise. Are you going to try and get your players in Iowa, fight you and I for those guys that Iowa State and Iowa don't think are quite good enough? But to your point, Trent, staff is huge. You know, and if I look back at my career, one of the things I would have done differently was the staff that I hired at Nebraska Omaha. I tried to hire Ben Miller, Eldon's son. He was a graduate assistant with a doctorate degree at Kansas, and Roy Williams said, don't leave, or else Ben would have been with me, and I that would might have changed a lot of things in what happened with my program.
Interesting. Kevin Lehman is our guest. So, Kevin, you just threw out some really cool names as far as Matt Gatens and Dean Oliver. Are you under the impression that Harden did give them an interview, that they were part of this, the group that didn't, obviously, in the end, get the job? Do you know if they interviewed?
I don't know for certain. I got to think you would interview Marty Richter, because he's on the
sure,
staff.
For sure.
Success in junior college, yeah. And I'm not sure about Matt Gaten. You know, he's a distant cousin of mine. I know the phones were dead for a while from some other people. They weren't answering him. And, you know, Dean Oliver just
saw that.
At this point, he stepped down from the Wisconsin staff. But those are guys, they got kicked out there, Ken, because they've got those Iowa ties. Mm-hmm. And that's the first thing I think you go to there. But and I think Josh Schertz's success at Indiana State makes this a much more comfortable hire than it would have been maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago, because Schertz has transitioned to the Valley, and it looks like he's going to be the next coach at St. Louis should their season end. But I think that makes it easier to make this justify this type of hire. Great success at a lower level, and it should be able to translate the Missouri Valley Conference.
Do you think Dean Oliver, with the announcement yesterday that he's leaving Wisconsin, did so with the job already lined up, Kevin? I mean, might he be headed to Drake?
Well, I tell you, they make a lot of money in the Big Ten. I don't think Drake matched that money as an assistant. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That'll be interesting to see what Dean does, because, you know, I got to know him really well when I coached that summer league in primetime, because I would always draft him.
God, I missed that league.
Yeah, so do I. That was a lot of fun. We tell stories about that league. We had some great championship games. Dean Oliver had 52 in a game one time when I had him on my team. And here's the best story about him, Ken and Trent. He tore his Achilles, ruptured his Achilles in a primetime game I'm coaching. And I go to the hospital afterwards. I felt so bad because he was about to sign a contract overseas. And I go up to his hospital room, and of course, John Streep, the Iowa trainer, is there. And I said, Dean, he goes, don't worry, coach. I signed that contract yesterday.
Oh, wow. Timing is everything.
That's a good one.
Yes.
And getting that money, absolutely a good one there. Hey, one thing you mentioned to me yesterday as we were texting and setting up the interview for today, and I thought it was very apropos. that the Missouri Valley Conference and mid-majors in general are turning into what JUCOs used to be.
Feeder programs.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's morphed into. Now, it's terrible news for the MVC, and we'll still see high-level play, but that's what it turned into in this NIL era. Kevin, my question is there anything that can be realistically done to combat it? Because finances are so different at the power structure compared to what we see in the MVC. Can anything be done to slow this down?
No, I don't think so. But I had some good conversation with Bob Bowlesby, interim AD at Northern Iowa. He also was put in the Valley Hall of Fame, so spent a lot of time with him at Arch Madness. And his concept is, hey, there's still going to be a place and a space for those teams like Northern Iowa, like Drake, that have kids that want to come get degrees. They're going to get a little money, but not the big money. There'll still be a place in college athletics for those types of programs. Because even if you're reading today, it looks like, you know, they're talking about the 70 teams in college football. I really look for that to break away. How that will restructure the other sports, I'm not sure. But I think you're going to see a power league for football here coming down in the future. But to Bob's point, I think there's always going to be a place for what we're seeing now. But to your point about junior colleges, I mean, I think the programs that really have to shift are the Ben Jacobsons of the world, the Brian Wardles, who are into finding gyms and developing them. Because now if you find a gym, you're the junior college, and he's going to be gone.
You're 1,000% right, which is hard to believe. It's hard to believe that AJ Store turned down $750,000. Kevin, I was all for athletes getting paid. I thought it was way overdue. I thought they deserved the cut of it. I had no idea it was going to get to this extreme this quickly. I mean, my God, what's next? I mean, how high can it keep going? But a kid to turn down $750,000 because he thinks there's more money out there. Did you foresee this coming to this level?
Oh, no way. I didn't know there was that much money out there. But look at the women's game. Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, what those people are bringing in. It's just astonishing. You remember that kid from Miami? He left Kansas State and signed with Miami for...
guard. God.
And I think we were shocked because that was the first time we saw those figures publicly announced. Mm-hmm. And now it's just blowing the top off. Somehow there's got to be a so-called salary cap put in place. I don't know how you do it if they end up becoming employees of universities, but something has to change because and here's the problem you run into. You're tapping your boosters for facility upgrades, and now you're tapping that same group for NIL money. That's where the problem comes.
Yep, there's only so much to go around, and where am I going to direct my cash? Interest, Nigel Pack.
Nigel Pack, yes.
And also, let me say this, guys. That booster's writing that check. How come my guy's not playing? Yeah. Also a problem.
Ooh, baby.
That's got to be fun. Oh, boy. A lot of headaches, no doubt about it. Let's get into the games this weekend, Kevin. Get your thoughts on the two matchups and what we potentially could see on Monday night. Let's just start very simply. What does it take UConn? I keep going back. They haven't shot the ball well during this tournament, and they are obliterating people. A 30-0 run. I don't know if you've ever been on the wrong end of one of those, but that's got to be a disappointing
52
one.
Minutes without your team scoring.
It was tied up at 23, and then you look up at the scoreboard, middle of the second half, it's 53-23. Just absolutely ridiculous. How, if anything, what can you do against this UConn team?
Well, what's more amazing about that run, it happened in the NCAA tournament. Right?
Yes.
It's not like you've got a bye game. You're playing Prairie View A&M.
Right.
Yeah, that's the astonishing part, as well as Illinois playing to that point. But UConn, Alabama, think about this. If they hit 15 threes, that's 45 points. Can they do that and put some pressure on UConn? I think that's the only chance this Alabama team has. But they play a style that may have a shot at it. I don't think NC State can hang with Purdue with that size inside because we've got our guy, our new favorite player, DJ Burns.
Yeah.
He's giving up 7 inches. Mm-hmm. He's still giving up 7 inches to Zach Edey. That is the biggest man I've ever seen on a basketball court.
No, it's unbelievable. So what do you think, Kevin? Are we going to get the matchup that the country believes? We're going to see Klingon at 7-2, Edey at 7-4, and their respective teams go at each other on Monday?
I really do. We've seen stranger things happen in Final Fours, but I think that's what we're looking forward to. And I'm glad that the brackets ended up that way, that this is not a game that's being played Saturday in the semifinals between UConn and Purdue.
No, I'm with you. Women tomorrow night. Obviously, UConn was one of the marquee programs in women's college basketball. Them in Tennessee with Gino Auriemma and Pat Summitt, UConn's back there. Here comes Iowa. Iowa's a slight favorite in the game. How do you see it?
I think this Iowa team's on a mission, and I think the fact that they came up short in the championship game last year has prepared them for this moment. Look at the way they handle themselves, and I spend a lot of time with Rob Brooks doing some Mediacom shows over here on Black and Gold Breakdown and Talk Sports. He's with them all the time, and he's told me the same thing. This team is really focused. They didn't celebrate a whole lot in that last win over LSU, that they've had a taste of it, and they also understand to get rid of the outside things that bother you on the outside, it's only what's going to happen between the lines. So you're not seeing all that chippiness, all that talk that we saw last year, and all this stuff on social media with these girls. They are just getting ready to win a championship. I think they're on a mission. I think they can get it done, although South Carolina is going to cause some problems.
I know you saw Indiana State a handful of times, maybe more than that. Did you see Seton Hall? I guess where I'm going, Kevin, what are your thoughts on the championship game tonight, NIT, Seton Hall, Indiana State?
I haven't seen much of Seton Hall, but I tell you about Indiana State. Josh Schertz has made unbelievable second-half adjustments. When you look at what he's done against Cincinnati, 53 points. The SMU game, I think they had 59 in the second half. Cincinnati meant 53 in the second half. They threw in 50-some against Utah in the second half. He's making these halftime adjustments and just taking control of the games in the second half. So I think Indiana State, full house, Hinklefield House,
yep.
Going to be a ton of Indiana State people. Yep. It's going to be like a home game for the Sycamores. And the sad thing is, how many of them go in the portal the next day?
Yeah.
It's a lot. Sadly, I think the reality tells us there will be some names. Kevin, again, thanks for what you do for us all season long. We appreciate it. Be well. Glad you turned the corner in your fight against the Big C and that you're so upfront about it. You continue to be involved with the Coaches versus Cancer, etc. Kevin Lehman, talk to you in the fall. Kevin, thank you very much for what you do for Trent and I.
All right. I appreciate all your support. You guys enjoyed the games. And Trent, I hope you win them all, buddy.
I appreciate that.
See you, Kevin. Thank you, Kevin. Kevin Lehman, as we talk a little basketball with Kevin Lehman. Good stuff out of Kevin. So he's on Indiana State tonight.
Yeah.
3.5? Is that still there?
Haven't checked this morning.
So I checked the women for tomorrow night, and it's basically 2.5. I think Caesars was offering 3.
Okay.
I don't think the other two games, or the other three games, both the men, the two men's games and the other women's games have moved that much.
We got some Sycamore steam, perhaps. 3, 3.5 starting to pop up there. Three different places have 3.5s, including DraftKings, up to 3.5 on that front there. Over on the, that's a men's Final Four, women's Final Four. 2.5, yeah, there's 1-3 out there at Caesars on the Hawkeyes. And 11.5 consensus, at least not including offshore, with South Carolina. And that one on the men's side, Alabama getting 11.5 for 12. There's a 12 out there at South Point at Bet Online. And Purdue, 9s. There is 1 9.5 on the Boilermakers. I like the Wolfpack in both of them.
You do?
I like the points with both NC State squads. I think they're going to slow it down.
Does their one get to the final?
No.
No, I don't think so either.
No. Inside the number, though, for both of them.
What about Hurley? He's such a creature of habit and doesn't like... when things don't go his way, you see the trouble they had getting to Phoenix?
Yeah, what was the whole story behind that?
They couldn't get a plane. The plane they had broke down and they couldn't get one. Then the pilots had to have a certain amount of hours without being, and I'm okay with that,
right.
Being at the controls. But they didn't leave until after 1 o'clock in the morning and didn't land in Phoenix till like 4 a.m. They're supposed to be there last night for supper.
Well, you know what's going to happen. He'll use it as a slight.
Oh, I know
he'll use it as motivation.
I know he will.
Even the airlines are trying to screw us. See?
He is trying to keep us away from it.
Right.
It's the only way they're going to beat us.
He is so good.
He really is. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Miller and Condon, welcome back. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Looking forward to catching up with Blair Kirkhoff, Kansas City Star, at the bottom of hour number two. Been a while since we've been able to get Blair on the program. Glad he's going to do so here today with the NFL draft coming up, etc., with some of the news. Boy, this has been the off season for the Chiefs. I'm not going back down that they're moving.
Right, yeah.
But they've kind of had some... Oh, not roadblock. I mean, Patrick Mahomes' dad's going to go to prison maybe as long as 10 years. Third DUI, that's a felony in the state of Texas. The Rice stuff with him getting in the wreck while drag racing in a Lamborghini and a Corvette. Heavy is the head that wears the crown, I guess, maybe a little bit. Distractions starting to mount up a little bit.
Yeah, they overcame Andy Reid, his son, what happened there.
I smell 9-8.
You do.
No, I don't.
I think you're being more hopeful than anything.
I am absolutely being hopeful. It's not going to happen until he's done.
The structure, 15, Andy Reid at the top.
Mm-hmm.
They've had plenty of things that have come their way.
Yep.
And they have come up with a response seemingly every single time. And they're going to be fine once again. Is Rashee Rice going to get in trouble?
Well, I think with the league, I mean, if this is one of these circumstances that the league kind of frowns upon, you know, they don't like anything to tarnish the shield, although they're doing a pretty good job of that, I think. You see the NFL Network laying off people left and right?
Yes, Siciliano. Siciliano's
gone. Melissa Stark is gone. James Palmer is gone. I don't remember who the fourth one is, but... yeah, to your question, I think he will probably, you know, miss a couple of games. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But there should be some supplemental discipline, you would think, coming his way. But the NFL Network, I mean, this league is flush with cash.
Yeah.
What is going on there?
I have no idea.
Off-season programming, I get it. You don't have as many people tuning in. I don't think you would.
I don't watch Good Morning Football, but I've had it on a time or two.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good.
Is it?
It is.
Is it as good since... oh, I don't remember her name, and she's really good.
Yeah, it's still excellent.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, well, it's Kyle Brandt going back and forth with...
He's good.
Yes, with the guy from Fox that you see in the pregame. Anyway, those two guys are good. They're both entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hot takery because, look, I can't watch those morning shows. I just can't.
Yeah.
I can't watch First Take.
No.
I can't watch even Greeny. They're not for me.
Mm-hmm.
So it is either SportsCenter or during the season I'll have a Good Morning Football on. It's a good show, but now... All right, now we're going to move it out to L.A., which means all of a sudden all these people that have been working in New York...
Have to move or lose their gig.
You got to move out there.
Uh-huh.
Your call time, instead of being 6 a.m., is now 4 a.m. or 3 a.m.
I mean, so it's still going to air at the...
Right.
Jesus.
You have a good thing going. It is very difficult to create a good studio show in today's environment. In my mind, you have a good one. You have one that rates well for a niche network like NFL Network. Why are you blowing it up? As you said... It's not a money problem.
It can't be.
It's not financial.
The 32 teams in the league own it.
They're going to fold up shop. Sorry.
Right.
Come on.
They've got the draft to talk about. They've got the schedule release. They've got OTAs, training camp. I mean, there's always content in the NFL.
Does it, in a way, feel like there's got to be more to the story? You don't take a successful show and move it. When you were this billion-dollar enterprise.
There has been some speculation that they are trying to get ESPN involved. That they want ESPN to buy some of their programming in exchange for, I don't know, maybe they'll get a couple of extra games or something ESPN would from the league. But maybe this is simply to move that process along. Because I'm with you. Kay Adams.
Okay.
She's really good. Really good. And she was in that seat. She hosted that show for a long time.
And J.B. Ardal's there now, and she's the one that's
moving, apparently.
Peter Schreger, who I was trying to think
of.
But Jason McCourty's on there. I mean, it's as good as you're going to find for that kind of show. And they have fun. Mm-hmm. It's not just hardcore. It
starts at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I think that's what it is. I think it's 6 to 8, something like that. But in the off season, they find topics.
Yep.
They find interesting ways to do it. Sorry. We're blowing this thing up. Doesn't make sense.
Hour two coming up next. John Bowenkamp. We will preview UConn and Iowa with John. Bottom of the hour, Blair Kirkhoff on the Kansas City sports situation. Trent's plays of the day as well. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.